Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another very special episode of the Wrestling Wrap-Up Podcast. So tonight, me and Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Hey, Mari.
We are live after the Money in the Bank WWE pay-per-view. Matt, long pay-per-view. I really am not a fan of them moving back to 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
This is going to be another adjustment. How do you think the night went?
Well, one thing I'll say is hopefully this isn't a pattern, so hopefully there's not an adjustment needed. I think that overall the night went really well. This was a really solid pay-per-view. Different stories moved forward. I liked how it ended. There were a few hiccups along the way, but overall this was really great, and the fans in attendance really reflected that.
Yeah, you're really optimistic, because I would say I don't know if it's really WWE's fault, but the experience of watching it on Peacock just literally took me out of it.
Like, what was it?
So again, I think they're gonna be at 8 o'clock now because they're on Peacock. Mm-hmm. So I think we got to get used to it being on 8 o'clock. But the period where Peacock started trending on Twitter, because for at least a good, that was at least 15 minutes.
Look,
it was going in and out for 15, 20 minutes.
All I'm
going
to say is you have to find a way. And I found a way. And Peacock actually didn't work for me from that point onward. It just wouldn't reload. So I saw the rest of it. I cannot disclose
how
that happened. Let's just say I went to the arena and watched it. That was really a mess. And it was breaking up for everyone. And I think people who have WWE Network, so the international audience didn't have any interruptions. But of course, here in the US, we did. So that wasn't great.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like it. People pay way too much money for this app and to get it through cable for it to be acting like that. Like, I can't imagine that there were so many people watching that's what caused it.
Oh, and no.
Right.
I don't think so.
And one of our listeners, shout out to Doug, reminded us that the Olympics are supposed to be showing on the Peacock app, I think, next week. So if they can't handle WWE's audience numbers or whatever the production is going on there, you know, I'm a little scared for what's going to happen at the Olympics. But let me digress. Let me not talk about Peacock itself. If you have any listeners, please feel free to submit your audio questions, comments, whatever. We'll play it either at the end or throughout the episode. But basically, the pay-per-view itself, maybe it was because my expectations were kind of high coming into it. Like, I was really excited coming into Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
But the pacing was just off, I felt like.
I felt like it was fine, but definitely Edge and Roman, that was off. I felt like they were in, I don't know. It was weird because it's like, wait, did the stream glitch or something like that? But they were in... I think Roman had Edge in a rear naked choke for 10 minutes, or at least that's what it felt like. And yeah, that wasn't great. Otherwise, it there was just a lot that they were packing into the show. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Like, to your point, any time where, like, really, because the first match with the Usos and the Mysterios, which was really on the pre-show, that happened, mm-hmm. like, at 7:30 our time. So what is that, 4 hours ago now? So, yeah, this was way too long, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, we've gotten used to the two nights for the big pay-per-views, I think it was. And for it to only be 5 matches, it really was strung along. So before we get into each match, Matt, since you have a lot of good things to say, well, since you have a little bit more good things than I probably do, what was your favorite moment of the night?
That's a good question. I think that less than it being a moment of the night, I thought the crowd was really refreshing. They were just so like positive about most things that were happening. I mean, one thing that I even really appreciated, and we'll get to talking about the Rhea Charlotte match, but I really did appreciate how like it went from that annoying, "We want Becky," to then, like, I think there was one moment in that match where Rhea was doing, like, basically she was deadlifting Charlotte and hit a suplex, and that really got the fans into it. And so for me, it's just moments like that that get the fans excited. Cena's return was also really interesting because people were really happy to see him. So I liked the general positivity of the crowd, throughout the show, as opposed to them like just kind of being upset with what they were getting. And you could tell people were grateful just to be back at a WWE show. So that was it for me, but there wasn't really one moment that stood out, unfortunately, at least not off the top of my head now. But did you have anything?
Of course, the best part of the whole night was Big E winning the Money in the Bank briefcase.
See, that was solid, but I think that was my official prediction. I think Nash and Big E were my official predictions, and to me, it kind of dampens the moment when it's like, yep, that's what we thought was coming. So it's great that the predictions were spot on, but also kind of sucks when it's like, ooh.
So you just kind of humble brag there.
I want to be surprised.
I don't, because like I said, you know me, Nikki Ash was not my prediction. So it was a surprise that I did not like. But Big E was my official prediction, but you just never know, because, you know, Vince will do whatever he wants to on whatever day. So to see him actually get that briefcase and, you know, what it meant to him, not to mention not just Big E winning that briefcase, but that match was so good. Oh, my gosh. John Morrison and Ricochet basically, taking a lot of the big bumps early on. But like the Drip Alliance, I like that.
Yeah.
The Drip Alliance with Seth and John Morrison, like really teaming up on people. Kevin taking that hellacious ladder bump. I hope he's okay. Maybe I hope he was selling, because I was.
I'm sure he's fine. I feel like the thing that I saw in that moment was that he took that bump, and then it was like 1 second past or 2 seconds past, and then he started like selling. So I feel like maybe there was the moment like, ooh, am I okay? And then he was kind of like writhing around on the ground. So I would like to think he's okay, but
I hope so.
Know. Yeah.
One of the refs looked like they were like calling to the back. So and then after that, we couldn't see that angle anymore. So I just hope he's okay. I really do, because that spot was crazy. But that match itself was so good. Very high flying. They were jumping around everywhere, fast paced. And that big ending off the ladder that Big E hit, I mean, nuts bananas. So I think that was another reason why I liked that match, was because not only did Big E win, and I was so hoping he would, but the match itself was put together so good. And I guess since we both said our favorites of the nights, let's go into the match card itself. And this is when I'm going to roll over to the women's Money in the Bank match, which opened the show. And like I had said on our podcast with Scott, I was actually not looking forward to this match as much as I was looking forward to the men. And unfortunately, it really did not deliver for me tonight. There weren't many notable spots. I thought the crowd was perfect for it, though. It was a good opener, I think. I think the crowd was telling us exactly who they liked and who they did not like. And I kind of feel like it was a disappointing winner.
I mean, the match could have definitely gone like another 5 or 10 minutes. They could have done a lot more with it. I don't think that for this match, I really had a winner that I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. I just kind of feel like Nikki A.S.H. makes a lot of sense here, especially because what I could really see and what I'm like anticipating is that we're going to get Nikki A.S.H., you know, kind of inserted into this Rhea Charlotte dynamic, which she's already been inserted into it. She's beaten both of them clean and had that streak. So, I mean, if she takes that championship from Charlotte tomorrow night, I'll be happy with that. Like, I would like to see something done where it's like, okay, let's get her over. Even if she has the belt for a week, like, do something to give her some stats and give her the rub. Even if it's not, something monumental and built up. I think Rhea will be fine, but but that's a whole other story. With this Money in the Bank, one thing I was thinking about leading into this match is you were high on Naomi, and they just don't.
And Liv.
They don't
and,
give,
no,
they don't
I was high on Liv and Naomi. Both of them.
What's that?
Liv and Naomi. I thought it was going to be one of them too, because they did get the stronger crowd reaction. I think Liv, Naomi, and Alexa got the strongest crowd reactions, at least for the faces in that match.
WWE is not going to put, like, I would be shocked if Naomi gets a push anytime this year, just because they're not treating her like that. Like, they're kind of putting her in this like spot. She's filling spots on the roster, and she's solid and people love her. And it's funny because as they were all coming down to the ring, like, you could tell that Naomi, that Asuka, those two stood out to me. They're just such stars. And so that was great. But Naomi, I just don't see that. I don't see them seeing that for her, unfortunately.
Right. I didn't think Naomi was a heart pick for me, but I agree. I didn't think they were going to go with her. I thought this match was very open. I thought anybody could have really, really won it. You know what I'm saying? I think Scott even made a good argument for Tamina winning it when we talked to him.
Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah. So I understood. But once we got, the reason why Nikki A.S.H., I think the Nikki A.S.H., the whole problem of it is, first of all, that gimmick, it's new, and it's a lot of people do not like it. Like I said, I don't mind the gimmick. I see what they're trying to do, but they're clearly already not booking her right. So you are very optimistic thinking she's going to win this belt. The only reason I think she won this briefcase is she is about to fail a cash-in. She's going to be the first women's cash-in to fail. And I think they foreshadowed it because, like, as soon as she won it, Nikki A.S.H., okay, great, great, great. And then 2 seconds later, my quote was like, every woman who's ever had the briefcase has always cashed in to be the champion. I was like, I think that's the absolute only reason you put this title on this character, because again, I think that she shouldn't have won this, because if you look on Twitter right now, people are already turning on her and that character again, because in this modern wrestling landscape, a lot of people don't like these overly white meat baby face types. And the only way you can get them to like those types, I think, for me, at least from what I've seen, is they have to lose. You know what I'm saying? They have to lose enough for people to get on their side to want them to win. And I think her character works in that direction. So having her have this briefcase, having that whole positivity, optimistic stuff like that, I don't see it work, except for if she fails a cash in. And I mean, that's what the word is on the street, that they did this to fail the cash in or whatnot. So I don't know.
But yeah, I don't know. I think
that, it's not a good start.
I think it's fine. I the stuff that I've seen has been positive about the pay-per-view. I think that people get really in the weeds about I want this kind of character. Just sit back, take it in. It's entertainment. I like that they're doing something different here. One things I liked about Money in the Bank tonight was that we did get two faces winning the suit, winning the briefcase and walking away with it, which is something that people typically say, well, you know, a heel should have the briefcase. Well, let's see what they do with it.
Well, I've said that. Yeah.
But I've also heard, I feel like that's one thing that's a pretty common, and it makes sense because of how WWE's handled the faces in the past. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see what they do here. And I think that the thing that's interesting about Nikki A.S.H. is that you could have her win the championship and hold it. Again, I don't think it would make sense for her to hold it for very long at all, but just have her win that for a moment and give her that moment and have her lose it. And then there's a glow up from that. Or you could have her cash in and lose, and that also fits the story, her character, the positivity. So I would like to see that. I don't see her holding that briefcase for too long, though, just based on the eagerness that her character has. To me, it would make a lot of sense to cash in as soon as possible. Like, definitely by SummerSlam. So yeah.
I think she's cashing in before SummerSlam because I really think they're about to get her out. They're going to get her out of the way, especially with the result of the Charlotte Rhea match, because clearly we're probably going to get Charlotte versus Becky at SummerSlam if Becky is in the right, state of mind to come back. So
this is a thing where everyone talks about Becky and her timing, but this is where we know this, it all depends on when she's coming back. And I'm still not sure if SummerSlam's going to be it for her, especially because she was on Twitter teasing oh, I'm here at the arena for Money in the Bank. It's like, well, clearly you're not going to be on the show. But I do wonder if the rumors are just ramping up and it's still a bit too soon.
No.
Maybe it's Survivor Series,
I think the crowd reactions tonight, WWE is hinging on those crowd reactions. Nikki got, when she came out, she got no reaction. You know what I'm saying? She did not get a reaction until she got that briefcase. So they are trying to book SummerSlam as WrestleMania for the summer, and WrestleMania how they want it to book this year's WrestleMania. That's why we've already got confirmation that Goldberg is coming back to face Lashley. We've got John Cena came out today.
So are you guaranteeing Nikki that A.S.H. Becky will be wrestling at SummerSlam?
I hate to say it because I was the same person who was let her live, but they need to put butts in the seats. And as we saw during the Charlotte and Rhea match, Becky Lynch will forever be the specter that looms over the women's division until she comes back, now that the live crowds are back. So I think WWE is going to at least try and do everything they can to get her back as soon as possible. Now, I think it's still up to Becky when she comes back, whenever she wants to come back. You know what I'm saying? So I can see them very much wanting that to be the plan at SummerSlam. Now, will it happen? I don't know. You see what I'm saying? I think that's what they would want.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it will happen. And maybe it's just soon. I think it might be. We'll see.
They need to sell tickets. They need to sell tickets now. Yeah, now it's about those tickets.
Yeah, but it's is Becky going to come back? Potentially we'll get her for SummerSlam, but I'm not even holding my breath at this point. I think a lot of it's just been the speculation, not necessarily ooh, this is when she's going to be back. Because the reality is, if she's not on the show, they're going to sell tickets for SummerSlam. They'll be okay. They'll figure out things. They'll have Sasha, they'll have others on the show that can draw people.
Will they?
In, but like, they will. They? I think so.
Because it's just like, so yeah. So I know it's just like, I think I just a lot of the crowd reaction stuff today has definitely changed my mind on how they're going to probably be booking stuff going forward. So other than that, yeah, the money in the women's Money in the Bank match, I thought them like them covering the Alexa with the ladders was interesting. The crowd still loves Alexa. Which is, again, I don't know how this is a face character. This is so beyond cringe to me that we have a supernatural face character. But yeah, I thought Liv actually did a great, I mean, Liv was the bait. Liv was the bait that I thought Nikki A.S.H. was going to be the run up to this. I thought if you switch Nikki A.S.H. and, Liv's participation in the match, I thought that's what we would have got. I thought we were going to get the tease of Nikki A.S.H. all match just for her to fail. But that's what we got with Liv Morgan. And the crowd, I mean, that crowd was hot for her. And so it sucks. We'll see what happens with the rest of the women going forward. But, you know, it was okay. It was an okay match. Next up, Ed, the Raw Tag Titles, which, Matt, we didn't even, we had the Raw Tag Titles. We didn't even preview this this
match. I think we did. I think we were, like, very brief about it, if we did, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember it being on the card. It's funny. I have it in my in my predictions that I wrote out as just, oh yeah, this will be AJ and Omis winning this match, but I don't. Well,
that's how forgettable.
Nothing, there was nothing that interesting about this.
The match itself. Well, yeah. The setup for the match, like the match itself, actually was pretty good. It got going. I actually really liked it. But again, a lot of the matches felt like maybe they started out kind of shaky and then got better. I thought Omis got way better near the end there, just throwing people around and stuff. So, yeah, you're right. Maybe we did preview it. But honestly, I clearly forgot because I just didn't think that the Viking Raiders, they didn't build them up enough for them to take those titles off of AJ and Omis, even though. I can't imagine AJ and Omis have those titles for much longer. They're really not doing anything with them. But how do you take it off of them when you have Omis there?
Well, it's weird because they are and they aren't. Like every week, AJ is cutting these like different promos. They're getting a lot of screen time, right? Which isn't what we see. Like a lot of times what we've gotten over the course of WWE history at different points is just that the tag team champions kind of just disappear or they fall into the background or they're not wrestling and defending their championships. Like in this case, we've seen them. I feel like we've seen AJ and Omis pretty much like every, they had that month off.
We have WrestleMania,
but they've just been around. So I think it's a good move to keep the belts on them until there's a good reason to take it off them. Like in my mind, that's Riddle and Randy Orton winning the tag championships at some point off of AJ and Omis. That's
true.
Make a lot of sense because that's really prestigious to beat AJ and beat Omis, who's been on this tear. And so, but they're right now, they're just kind of there. Like, there's not really a lot to say or think about them, but I feel like they do need like something special to topple them, especially with the force that Omis is.
I agree with you. They have been on TV, but that's kind of the problem. Every time they've been on TV, AJ has been fighting for like the Money in the Bank spot, or you know what I'm saying? Like it hasn't been for tag reasons, but they've been on TV, AJ trying to get the Money in the Bank slots, but then the Viking Raiders coming out and foiling them every time. So that storyline was actually pretty good. I actually liked the Viking Raiders. They did a promo on Raw, where they like kept inserting Viking history into their promo, which I thought was really cool. But I'm a weird history nerd, so duh, I thought that was cool. So, but yeah, I think you're right. We need. It's unfortunate that the Viking Raiders aren't seen as that team that can topple them when they had so much steam coming into them, you know, when they first premiered on the main roster. But unfortunately, a series of mistimed injuries have just kept them out for so long that they've been cooled down. So I agree. I think you're right. I think we get another makeshift singles pairs team taking that belt off of AJ and Omos, which would more likely be Randy Orton and Matt Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, overall, the match I did end up actually enjoying the match. I was kind of like, oh, I forgot about it, but I didn't mind it.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, let's think about like what spot this match had on the card. So it came up after the women's Money in the Bank. So mm-hmm. you're coming off of those different spots and everything that's happening in that match, and so this kind of was I feel like. The match for the fans to cool down a little bit mm-hmm. after the Money in the Bank before obviously getting into the next match after this. So it had its role on the card. It made sense, but
I agree with that. Yeah. I completely agree with that. I think the problem was that the women's match didn't get as hot as it should have in order for that cool down.
Totally.
So that's why it felt like the show itself was kind of like meh. And so then we get Kofi versus Bobby Lashley here. And
this was the next one was Kofi and Lashley, right?
Yeah. Kofi and Lashley.
Oh, that was, yeah. By the way, Kofi's entrance here was really cool because on the screen behind him it was like a Super Mario New Day entrance. Like I hope that they really sell cool. that New Day game one day or like out of that. I'm guessing that won't happen, but
really
that was a really cool entrance and I think a cool nod to up down down and to mm-hmm. Xavier Woods, who obviously wasn't there on the show.
Yeah, exactly. And it was his entrance was cool. And then I still love Bobby Lashley's like lightning entrance mm-hmm. and all that. That was super cool as well.
Yeah, I thought for a second, I was like, wait, is that Ricochet? Because I'm used to his little
light show. It was a
very similar visual mm-hmm. at the start of Lashley's entrance. But yeah, this was a. I don't know
what to think of this match because it was kind of funny. I was, you know, me and my husband were watching with it's like a friend of ours and he literally said like, oh, I hope this isn't like the Brock match. And I was like, what? And sure enough, like Bobby Lashley literally just destroyed Kofi. And I get it. I guess, but mm-hmm. ooh, man, like, you know, the story going into it was so much hope and you know, they kept getting the upper hand. And then Bobby just said, like, no, screw all of that. And just manhandled him for like 5 minutes.
But like they told the story, like they gave. I was going to call him Corey Kingston. Kofi Kingston, like he actually and. Him and Xavier actually end up looking really good leading into this.
Yes.
And so, I mean, and you know, mm-hmm. we didn't think that there was like a chance that it would go really well, but we also didn't realize that it would be
a squash match.
Yeah, like so much of a squash, right? But yeah, mm-hmm. it basically was. And so, it's sad. But I hope that like maybe this is where we'll see Big E pop up to continue this storyline and to pop in. But honestly, I have no clue because we talked about this. We talked about where it's going. We talked about Goldberg as Lashley's next opponent a little mm-hmm. bit. And I have no clue what to expect. But I do hope that like this storyline continues on, right? And you would imagine that it would continue somehow. It makes sense for it to be through E, but who really knows?
Yeah, like I don't know if the storyline will continue, But I get why they did it. You know what I'm saying? Because they had to show that Bobby Lashley. I guess it's going to be really true. Like, there will be no Lashley ladies anymore, and it'll be more all business. I think this was like the turning point for Lashley being like, okay, enough games. And I like it for Lashley. I do. So now he's going to be like out for blood going into this, Goldberg feud. So I like it. I actually like that. You know, it sucks for Kofi again, because Kofi again gets ragdolled by these bigger jacked up men. And I never thought Kofi was going to win, but I thought we were going to get another good match out of it. But I guess it does make sense. It all makes logical sense. So that's why I'm not like really tripping.
Here's the thing that I'm thinking about. And maybe this is kind of how I'll think about the other matches and where everyone is on the show. It's just like, where is Kofi's stock now compared to where it was a month ago? Because it's a lot higher than where it was 2 months ago when he was just kind of doing the New Day thing. And, you know, I think that that's what's important. But also what's important is what they do with it. Like, if they just have him go back to being in the New Day and having random matches and not referencing everything with Bobby and his hunt for the world championships, like, it's not going to be great, because then his stock will just go down. But right now, he's still in a really good place. Could be better if the match were booked differently. But you know, you're right. There was a lot there that I think they could have done to leave Kofi in an even better position if they wanted to.
Yeah, but yes, exactly. But I agree with you there, because the funny thing about Kofi Kingston is, honestly, to me, I don't think he loses a step. Like, even when a lot of people were mad about what happened to him after the Brock match, I honestly, you know, he came back and he was still like having that positive vibe. I really think it's hard to, you know, really tarnish Kofi's cred, because he's just so credible. He's such a long tenured, really good superstar. He, you know, New Day is one of the most over tag teams ever, you know, in the history of WWE. So that's why, again, like, you know, like I said, like you said, I'm not too worried about Kofi. Now, this next match, this next match, I am very worried.
you're worried?
Yeah, for one person in particular.
Look, all I'm going to say is, it was good knowing her.
Yeah. bye.
Gosh, yes. And of course, we're talking about the Raw Women's Championship match between Rhea Ripley, who entered the match as champion, and Charlotte. I think I just need to, like, back up, and you just need to go off, Mari.
Well, I think, I don't know. And again, if anybody wants to submit any voice or audio questions or comments, submit them now and we'll listen to them at the end of the show. But like, I can't even go off. I'm like a DJ Khaled meme, like, congrats, you played yourself. Because we've been talking about all like the lead ups to this all season. I said, this is a great program, but they need to stick the landing. This is a great program, but Rhea needs to win. If Rhea doesn't win, then there's no point in any of this. And again, I said, this feud is pretty good. This is actually a little bit different than some of Charlotte's feuds. I let myself get sucked in. Never again. This is literally the reason why I can never get invested into Charlotte's feuds. And it's not just because Charlotte won, because I actually really like Charlotte as a competitor. And her flipping the crowd the bird early into the match was so hilarious. She's such a good heater. So it's not Charlotte's fault. It's how they book all of her feuds, because they, even if you know she's, going to win, don't make her opponent look so stupid leading up to the loss. That's the biggest problem that I've always had with every feud that she's had. The Asuka feud three years ago, the last Rhea feud, and this Rhea feud. Like, you make them look so dumb. You make her challengers look so dumb that the only way that they can really redeem themselves is by winning, but then you book Charlotte to win. So then it just does not help.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem with all of it. It's probably similar to a lot of what we've seen in the past with Cena, because you kind of have Charlotte as Super Charlotte to the point where when I saw Charlotte get the win, and also just the finishing sequence where she's stomping Rhea's leg, her knee, between the ring post and the steel steps, just beating her up. And then the figure eight, which then we saw Rhea take a while to tap out, but she taps. Like, for me, I say to myself, this makes perfect sense, because Charlotte is a massive veteran in all this, like, has so much to her name, where it's, again, like the Cena thing, it makes it tough because I can see WWE sitting there and being like, ooh, let's book Charlotte in this like ridiculously strong way because she's Charlotte Flair. But the reality is they created the monster. They're the ones who booked her so strong in the first place, and they don't need to continue to book her in this like Super Charlotte way. That didn't work with Cena, and that's not gonna work with Charlotte. But I do think it's interesting because clearly, I mean, all the times that you've kind of looked at the predictions, especially, and you've said Charlotte shouldn't win here, and then she wins, I think that's WWE just trying to protect her so that then she could go up against, for better or for worse, go up against Becky or go up against someone of that caliber. So it's interesting what they're doing with Charlotte. And honestly, I can't really truly wrap my head around what they should do, because they should keep her strong. They should keep a lot more people strong, but they don't need to, like, you're to your point, they don't need to make other people look so dumb and amateur. At least, like, do things that you know help
protect them, get their revenge as well.
Exactly. Yeah,
you can definitely protect people in losses. But how did Charlotte get away with that? Like, where was the ref? Like, honestly, where was the ref?
Oh, he was right there.
That's what I
could think about was that announce table last month where Rhea flips up a piece of the announce table in Charlotte's face, and that's a DQ, but this isn't a DQ. Was it the same ref? I'm very confused.
Oh my gosh.
How that was a DQ and this wasn't a DQ. And I also really hope that it doesn't become a storyline where it's like, but Charlotte wasn't disqualified for this. Like, let's just leave it alone. I don't want to go back to the world. It's so exhausting.
It really is. It really is. And I feel so sorry for Rhea, because she's openly talked about how her confidence took a hit after the last Charlotte program. And if NXT couldn't book Rhea well after losing to Charlotte, the main roster, I have no faith in Raw or the main roster to book her well after this loss, to be quite honest.
They need to do something with her. Like, she has that stomp at the top of the ramp. Maybe they could have her, like, stomp on a balloon full of confetti or something like that. Like, just make it, like, do something. Honestly, they need to give us anything that's going to give us a pop from her. But, I'm really curious to see how she fares in front of the fans, because I don't think that they've been booking her well since she won the championship.
And
maybe it's because she's alongside or across from Charlotte, but she has looked like the rookie, and then they've also leaned into that story. And you know what, it would be nice if they booked her properly, but I think now that the fans are in attendance, maybe WWE will get more of that, like, real-time feedback, like, ooh, we love this person, we don't love that person. Maybe they'll adapt with that, but who are we kidding? It's WWE. They'll do whatever they want.
And to go back to, like, you hinted at it earlier, the fan reaction. So when the match first started, people, they were already chanting, "We want Becky," which is ridiculous to me, because that match, I felt like the Charlotte Rhea match, we had already seen it so many other times, but I still don't think it started as slow as Roman and Edge did. And they immediately got the We Want Becky chance.
And you know what? Roman and Edge should have gotten the We Want Becky chance.
I'm telling you.
That's the thing that's the one part of it that bothers me, because I'm glad that the fans are back to kind of express themselves however they want.
Yes.
I don't love the idea that the two women are on in a singles match for the women's championship. So that's when we chant for We Want Becky. Becky was transcendent beyond even the women's division in so many ways. Like there's so many segments and so many moments that she had as the man that were involving, involving women, but involving men, and just, again, the main event, and that's what she deserves. So we talked about this before, but Becky hopefully won't return into like the women's championship feud. I hope Becky will just return as like, here is the biggest star in this company right now, Becky Lynch. And I hope they give her that rub rather than like slotting her into a specific championship feud that's not already hot. This is also why I'm like not in a rush to see Becky come back, because I just feel like things need to get in place a little bit more on the Raw side, especially because that is clearly
it's floundering. It's floundering, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I think they're just going to rush her back. When does it ever matter for them to have a storyline to either pick up or drop at any time? It sucks. The only match that was really kind of like a hijack, if you will, by the crowd was the one women's like singles match. So like not a good look there, but they did a really good job of getting the crowd back invested into the match. Like that's kudos to Charlotte. Kudos to Rhea. Like you said, they got them interested. They got that stuff. This is awesome chant. So they were able to pull it back.
And I would also say that maybe it's just the crowd, but I really do feel like this was their best match, because they were able to get the crowd back, which isn't something that performers are always able to do. But this was actually like I enjoyed watching it, especially after they lost the crowd and started getting them back. That was really nice to see. And it shows that it's not a fault of the performers, but I do sort of worry that we're going to get the We Want Becky chance every time there's a women's segment. And that might not be helpful. And that also might be distracting to a lot of the women. And, you know, you have Charlotte, who I'm sure doesn't take it personally. She knows how great Becky is. She also knows how great she is. But for performers who are newer and up and coming, who are obviously in Becky's shadow, I don't know if it's helpful for them to be like, if Nikki A.S.H. gets We Want Becky, that's kind of like, ooh, come on, she's just trying to get over. So it is sad. We want WWE to build new stars, but
yes, that is my main problem with this whole feud.
Yeah,
is they touted the new era, the new stars holding the belts, and they played Rhea out here. So I mean, I hope that they have something for her to keep her going. Then we get the men's Money in the Bank match. Like we said, great match. I don't really think we need to go too much over. What was your favorite spot in the match though, Matt?
Oh my God. Well, okay. This whole match, I was thinking about as you were talking about it earlier, I was so out of it in this
really
match because of the
Peacock stuff.
Because that's of true. All of that. So the whole time I was just distracted. I do think that the like Big E's big ending was a huge moment. Like, boom, he didn't just climb. This is where it's so different than Nikki A.S.H., where he didn't just climb up and grab the briefcase. He actually kind of said, I'm Big E and I'm gonna be big and do my big boy things. And then I'm gonna
big boy things. With
yes, exactly. The hashtag Big E's big boy things. But you know, I think that I don't know. I you know what? The other thing I really liked about this was the Seth Rollins, John Morrison dynamic. And I don't know where it came from, but I liked that story was in there. And I just think it's interesting because WWE doesn't typically establish these different relationships between characters or alliances between characters. So that was really nice. And otherwise, though, I kind of felt like there wasn't, I just didn't get a highlight from the other people. Like for like Drew, to me, was kind of in the background in this match.
Oh, Riddle, in some ways, we gotta talk about the gender. The gender of it.
Oh yeah, that was also so. That felt like it was out of nowhere. But yeah, gender taking out Drew. Mm-hmm. It's like yeah, this was a strange match, and I don't know if it's the combination of people or who was highlighted or what. But I just had a weird. And again, the issues with Peacock, but I had a weird vibe for this match.
This was honestly, again, this is my favorite match, and we missed all of the intros due to the Peacock stuff. Like we miss. I know there was a vignette there with Rick Boogs, and
yeah,
and
we missed
was it Corbin? I don't know, but
they were playing. Someone's theme song. I don't remember. Oh, they were playing Randy Orton's theme song.
Really?
I
missed it all because Peacock was messing up so badly. I missed that vignette. I missed everybody's entrances. By the time we got, we had to like turn it off, turn it back on. By the time we got Peacock back on, it was at the beginning of the match. So it wasn't like I missed the match. I just missed all the stuff leading up to the match.
Yeah.
So I had to like really pay attention, you know, to get into the match. But I think that one of the first things we saw was like, I can't remember if it was Ricochet or somebody did like a dive. No, it might've been Morrison did a dive like off the side onto a huge crowd of people. So I think that it was so fast paced and so good. And that's what I really liked. So Jinder took out Drew because Drew and Jinder started a feud like 2 weeks ago. And it makes sense. It was really funny. I was like, dang, they just carried that man out of there.
Yeah.
Good way to get Drew out of there since, you know, he said it was his one and only chance shot at the title. Kevin Owens, before he took that hellacious...
exactly.
He got really good reactions. Yes, the crowd loves this.
I was nervous, though, because he was just, like, I think he hit two successful stunners each time.
Yeah.
And was, like, climbing up the ladder. And then I can't remember who it was who reversed his stunner and stopped him there. Actually, you know, I think that it was, for whatever reason, I feel like this was probably Ricochet.
But yeah, either way, he had
a good little moment there. And you know what? He always delivers, though. And it's actually interesting because during the beginning of this year, really late last year, so December, January, we actually saw him up against Roman in that featured spot. So KO was another person who kind of had a moment during the pandemic and actually really delivered in a way that obviously the fans didn't get a chance to react to. So the fans love KO and they can pull the trigger on him whenever they want to. But yeah, good little moments from him. That bump was rough.
It was rough. I think everybody got really good good moments and good reactions. The only one I think that I'm thinking about off the top of my head that didn't might be Nakamura, actually, now that we're talking about it. I don't remember anything that he did in that match. So, I mean, eight people is a lot to incorporate into a match. So, I'm really good. Yeah.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We got one more match, the main event. After we talk about this, we will play your audio messages.
And I'll mention even before diving into the main event that, like, at the very start of the night on the pre-show, the tag team championships, the SmackDown tag team championships, were on the line, and the Usos beat the Mysterios. And so there was there was a segment at some point on the show,
at the beginning,
where, early in the show, where we actually saw the Usos, Roman Reigns, I think what Jimmy or Jay mentioned, just being draped in gold. Mm-hmm. And so they have all the championships, right? And so that's an interesting story beat that also kind of came out of nowhere, because we didn't know that that tag team championship match was taking place on the show. But I mentioned that because I think that sets up a really interesting dynamic for the Roman Edge match and out of all of that. But just to focus on that match, the Universal Championship match, it went on for so long. And it's not like the beginning, actually the beginning wasn't really anything special. The end was really special, and what closed the show was special, but it's almost like they really said, we need to fill for time. We need to really go for time and have this go on forever. And I don't even think the fans were that into it, honestly.
Yeah, just the first 10, 15 minutes of the match was just, it was really long and plodding and a lot of holds.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out, did they do that on purpose? Because Roman loves just irritating the crap out of the fans now. So I don't know if that was purposeful, but I was like legit. I was like, oh, I'm about to fall asleep. This was just, it just didn't make it didn't match the energy that they came in with that storyline. That storyline was like, we want to beat the ever loving crap out of each other. I see fear in your eyes and all that stuff. And it opened just so weirdly, but they did pick it up. Once, Roman broke off the thing, and then Edge had it in Roman's mouth. Then we got some running. Like, once the shenanigans really started up, that's when it got really good. A little bit before that, too. I'm not going to lie. They did kick it up a notch with, like, countering each other's moves and stuff like that. Was really good. The ref bump. I was like,
yeah.
I should have known.
Disappointed with that ref bump, by the way, it was a stretch.
It was the biggest stretch. And I should have known, because when they got into the ring, I was like, oh, look at little Nate. He's still doing it. I'm like, how does he look that young? And I know he's been doing this for like 30 plus years. I should have known as soon as I saw him, as soon as I saw Charles Robinson, I should have known there was going to be a ref bump.
But wasn't it was a Superman punch, right?
Edge,
who then hit Little Nate. It's so funny to still call him Little Nate, but that's what happened. And then he took the bump, but he also barely got hit.
Oh my god, so
but
funny!
But also, it was like this Matrix type of thing too, like a curving bullet, because you have like Roman hitting the Superman punch, hits Edge, who then goes in the other direction toward the ref, barely hits him, and then we suddenly have a ref out for like 10 minutes straight. So that was interesting, but anyway,
really really fun.
That's a small specific thing, but yeah, I think it's like those details that so easily could take you out of it. Like, just go, Roman, just walk outside of the ring and just start stomping on him even more. Just everyone knows why he's out that long.
Yes, and then so the Usos try to run in and help Roman, but the Mysterios help avoid that. Yeah. And then Seth. Okay, so after Seth loses the Money in the Bank, we just get him fuming, talking to himself, saying Edge took away his opportunity, which I'm assuming goes all the way back to just like Royal Rumble, right? Like, that's how he took away his opportunity, because I don't know. But I was just like, OK, if you say so.
The mental gymnastics.
That's what it really is.
Let's hope that something's really ridiculous. I'm just not a fan, and thankfully it doesn't happen a ton, but I'm not a fan when someone like has a motivation that's clearly something that wasn't the motivation at all. Like, at any point over the last, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But Seth's kind of been off the wall, off the walls the last last 6 months or so with his character and the suits and the feud with Cesaro. So yeah, it's I think it's going to be cool to see the thing with Edge. And, you know, so we're going to get something with Edge and Seth, and then we also had our other big SummerSlam match set up at the end of this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so after Roman gets the pin on Edge, which was also kind of funny because Edge pins Roman right after like a huge spear, but you know my phone's like pin him, but there was still no ref out. The funniest thing to me was Paul Heyman like looking around for the ref, like hoping there was no ref showing up.
The
ref finally gets there to Roman, gives Roman enough time to kick out, then Roman, you know, gets the pin. But I just thought it was the funniest thing, like why was there no ref for this far into the match? But anyways, Roman wins. He says, now the whole world has to acknowledge me. And then John Cena comes out, music hits, still one of the loudest pops in the industry.
Yeah.
Really just runs around throwing up his signs and doesn't even say anything to Roman.
Roman's those signs make me really uncomfortable these days.
It's, yeah, a little weird.
Yeah. Also his hair. I'm just always.
Oh, his hair is so distracting.
It is. But it was kind of good on this show. But it was a little high. Like, he definitely had a high top situation going on. It's very impressive, actually.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Sting, like Surfer Sting, early 90s, probably, if I had to, like, label what his hair looked like. But,
yeah. Oh,
Cena. I missed him. I didn't even realize I missed him.
Well, that's nice. I mean, he's here.
Let me clarify here. It's kind of like, you know, you've been away from people, you know, during the pandemic, you're walking down the street, you run into someone that you recognize and you're genuinely like, ooh, I'm happy to see them. Even if it was your worst enemy, you'd be like, ooh, I'm happy to see someone I know. This is how I feel about Cena. I've never been crazy about him, but it was cool to see him back and just to know that he's such a draw and people do get really excited about him. And he's even polarizing, which I think is good too, for the business and just for buzz. I'm pumped for whatever he's going to do if he's going to be around week to week, which let's see what actually happens. He's a big star.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with that. So that was the show. I mean, overall, I think the viewing experience on Peacock, like as much as you want to try and be like, you want to be like, put that to the side. You cannot. That is how we are consuming the media. And if it's not reliable, you know, they purposefully cut to black during the whole Charlotte flicking the crowd off. Like some of these production calls now with the move is just so weird and wonky. Mm-hmm. I would give this show just a C+ at best because I think a lot of the stuff leveled out, but it was just maybe slightly more than average. Plus you bring down the peacockness of it all. So I'll give it a C+.
I mean, you know what? I would probably give it it was a solid show and they have places to go from here with the show. I don't think they've ruined anything truly.
Right.
And the doors are still open on stuff. So I would give it a B. I want to give it a B+, but I'm just going to give it a B because I just feel like that's a little bit nicer than a C+, but you know, maybe like a B/B-. So not much better. Yeah, but we have these voicemail questions to dive into, Mari.
Yeah, let's play them.
Y'all, I can't get invested into New Day Wrestling for shit. Like, I've tried to watch it. I'm just so stuck in, like, the Attitude Era. Or, like, the AWE is nice. I like that. Or AEW, whatever it's called. But I watched TNA back in the day. But WWE right now, it just becomes too much to, like, keep up with. It's like watching the soap operas. After you miss so many, it's hard to catch up.
Yeah, you know what? We were kind of talking about this a little bit the other day with Scott Yeager of Challenge Mania, just talking about like how it is easy to fall behind on so much, especially when they're not doing long-term storytelling, and especially when they're just kind of switching up the storylines. It's like, ooh, I was watching 5 months ago, and now everything's changed. Versus like AEW, what I feel like we've seen recently, at least during the pandemic and in the last 8 to 9 months, is that there have been some threads and some stories that have continued on. So, yeah, what did you think about that take? Because,
I agree.
New Day of the soap opera comment. What do you think?
No, I don't. I don't think he meant like New Day the group. I think he means like this era of
WWE. The new era.
Yeah. Because I agree. Like, I mean, if you grew up on Attitude era stuff, what we're seeing here, it is it's the PG era, it's reality era. It is something different. We're known for saying on our podcast that everything is not for everybody. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, he's wrong. I agree with him. Like some of these storylines you just cannot get invested in. And some of them are just too hokey for you to really get invested into. So I agree. I mean, like it's just whatever calls to you, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the only thing I would add to that is just that, you know, with wrestling, like WWE is really big on embracing its history and constantly going back to that. I mean, on tonight's show, there were so many clips from past shows, especially past Money in the Banks that were shown during people's entrances, especially. And I feel like WWE's approach is not, let's replicate what we did in the Attitude Era. That's definitely not the approach, especially because it's, you know, like a PG audience and they're just going for a different thing now. I think what WWE does, they just embrace the fact that they had that history, but they're trying to create something different. So the good news is there's still ways to go back and like take in all of the old content, but the bad news is we might not get much that's like that same energy, that same quality in the same type of way. So, you know what?
Yeah.
It is what it is. Not everything's for everyone. And go into the archives. There's so much wrestling out there, though, that you can kind of consume like anything that you want nowadays. So do that.
Very true. Very true. All right. Let's go to our next one. Let's see.
Hey, this is Will. Quick question. Now that Big E is Mr. Money in the Bank, do you think he might cash in on Bobby Lashley? I originally thought he might cash in on Roman, but it would actually be a great way after the Bobby versus Goldberg match to cash in and reunite the New Day on Raw and to move him from SmackDown to Raw by default. What are your thoughts on that? Great show. Thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you for that question. And yeah, Mari, what do you think about just Big E and the cash in prospects? We're going to assume that he's not going to go to NXT to cash in Money in the Bank. But were you thinking that there was a chance that if he won, he would go up against Roman? Because I feel like that story with Bobby Lashley and Big E with the Kofi stuff is kind of just built in. But yeah, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I initially thought he was gonna cash in on Roman because I thought they were building Roman up to get cashed in on by a big like baby face, which I think Big E is currently SmackDown's like biggest baby face as of right now. But I don't hate that Bobby Lashley idea. Cash in on Bobby Lashley after this Goldberg stuff, reunite the New Day. I'm cool with that. I'm just happy Big E has the briefcase and he can do whatever he wants with it. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying a little bit about faces and faces winning the briefcase. Like, not all faces are made created equally, and that's why I said I don't think the briefcase works for Nikki's character, but I think it definitely works for Big E's character. You know what I'm saying? Because of how he conducts himself, and he can be funny with the briefcase. He can he can mess with his opponent's heads without it being having to be in a heel way. So which one will I want to see most? I don't know. I just want to see Big E cash in, to be quite honest. But I would love for Roman to pass the torch to Big E. That would be like momentous for him, I think.
Yeah, but we'll see. Either way, I think it's going to start to unfold. It would be nice if we do get the tease of each of those options, but especially like if we're going in the Big E Lashley direction, definitely tease us with the Roman stuff and kind of show us what it would look like if Big E and Roman were going up against each other. Because down the line, we're going to get that at some point, but yeah, this is going to be interesting to see what they decide to do and when they decide to pull the trigger on E as the Mr. Money in the Bank. Because he has time. He has a lot of time. And anyone can be champion by the time he decides to cash in.
Exactly. All right, we got a few more here.
So admittedly, I do understand where Charlotte wouldn't take it personally, but Charlotte did completely flip off the crowd after they started the We Want Becky chance, to the point where Peacock had to cut it, and they came back and she was still flipping the crowd off. So maybe Charlotte not as thick-skinned as we like.
Fair? I don't know. I would like to think that Charlotte wasn't actually upset and just was
a heater moment. Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, oh, I'm the heel. Let me do this.
I mean,
finger flipping people off thing. Like, I don't know, though. I don't see how she. Here's the thing. I don't legitimately see how she could be upset with people chanting for Becky.
Right.
If they're friends, she probably wants Becky back too. So I read that as a heel moment.
Yeah.
But do you think she was legit upset?
I don't think so. I think Charlotte is clearly a better heel than anything. I think she just loves getting just that reactions out of the crowd. I think she just likes that. She thrives off of that. She thrives off the negativity. So I don't know if she was really hurt by it, but it was funny. And how bad are you again, Peacock? Hi, we saw the finger. You then try to came back and it was still
exactly. No, that's how I saw it, because I didn't see it before and I'm like, oh, it's blacked out, and then it comes back and she's just flipping everyone off. Ooh. No,
I saw it before and after. Like, they just, whoever was on the button wasn't quick enough. They need help. They need to call the BB23 Skippy, like, because they were really slow on the draw there.
Yeah, no, they don't. That's exactly what they don't need to do.
And thank you so much, Will. Thank you for your questions. Yeah, we love hearing from you on Twitter. We got one more here.
Hey guys, I have a question. Are you guys like legitimate like wrestling fans? Or so here's the thing, like,
no.
I never got into wrestling because like it's obviously scripted or whatever, but like I don't like deny the entertainment aspect of it, dude. Like, I've definitely seen like a lot of people that I respect like are thoroughly entertained by wrestling. I'm just curious, like, what do you guys get out of it? I'm just curious to know, just so I could start like looking out for things. You know, so I can connect with my friends that like wrestling. I'm so sorry, guys. My bad. You heard me?
No, that's a great question, Nervous Larry, and thanks for asking. And you know what? I would just say, and I keep pointing it out, because we just the other day, we had, our episode with Scott Yeager, where it was different than usual. Usually what we do in episodes is that we'll run through maybe a little bit of the news, but more than anything, we'll talk through the highlights of the week. But on the episode for Scott, we dove in, we kind of interviewed him and talked about wrestling fandom and what we get out of it and all that fun stuff. And yeah, we're definitely fans. You know what, like, Mari, to put you on the spot, what like would you say for you is the thing that kind of keeps you involved or keeps you interested in wrestling?
Well, you know, just for Larry there, I think you called him Larry.
Nervous Larry.
Because, you know, you got to remember, this is stereo, so people are just coming in and out. So for the people who don't know us, my name is Mari Forth. That is Matt Scott. We are the hosts of the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast, and you can find us on YouTube. At Rob has a podcast on YouTube. Look up Wrestling Rehab Up. That's WrestlingRehapUp. We're the Wrestling Rehab Up, and we do this podcast every week where we go over the highlights of the week. We talk to guests. And like Matt said, our main focus is to bring wrestling and make it inclusive to everybody. Like that is literally our main point. So thank you so much for asking that question. To connect with your friends, the first thing you should always do for any wrestling fan is ask them who their favorite superstar is and who they think would be your favorite superstar. Cause I love doing that. Whenever we have our guests on, a lot of our guests are actually casual fans or people who've never watched, and we send them clips. And like when they come out and they're genuinely interested in watching more wrestling, you can always tell by a person's personality which superstars you think they would like. So if you have friends that are wrestling fans, ask them, ask them, who do you think I would like? Show me some clips of people you think I would like. Because more than likely they would know your preference, especially if they're your friends. They would know your preference, and they could easily get you into wrestling.
Yeah. And I think that to add to that, the other thing I would say is that one of the things that I love about wrestling and that I know that we appreciate about wrestling is that it's really a variety show. So you have the comedy, you have the women's entertainment with women fighting women. You have the men's entertainment, you have managers, you have product placement and promotion, and you have all sorts of different skits and things that happen. And, you know, we always say that if you're a wrestling fan and you're tuning into WWE, that doesn't mean that you love everything that you're seeing on the show.
Yes.
And, you know, what it means is that you know, there are probably certain things you love and that you appreciate. There are non-wrestling fans who are watching, who look at a show and say, oh my God, that segment sucked. Well, we probably agree too. But I think the thing that's so cool about wrestling, and again, Scott, who I keep shouting out, says this so well, is just that it's really about you're rooting for the writers to make a choice that makes the show the most entertaining. And for us, I think one thing that's so fun is not only predicting what's going to happen, but kind of speculating like what should they be doing? What would be the most fun and entertaining? Who do we love and who would we love to see highlighted? So you're able to kind of like find people you gravitate to and find characters that you gravitate to and follow them and support them. And so that's one of the things I think is most fun about wrestling and about entertainment in general, is just kind of like almost like a horse race, like picking your horse and then going with that horse. Sometimes is like the comparison I'd use for that one.
Definitely. Yeah. So other than that, I think we should wrap it up, Matt. Where can the people find you? Do you have any plugs?
Yeah, well, other than finding me on the Wrestling Rehab Up, you can find me at Matt Scott GW. Follow me here on Stereo and also on Twitter. And yeah, just get in touch. Like, let us know your thoughts on Money in the Bank. Let us know if you are a new wrestling fan or someone who's just getting involved. I think it's so cool to hear from people about their thoughts and just fandom and all that fun stuff. So at Matt Scott GW, it's the same username as my one on Stereo. And so that's where you could find me. But Mari, where could the people find you?
You can also find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two, just like here on Stereo. We're also on Twitter, the wrestling at Wrestling Rehab Up.
Sure.
You can find the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We're also, again, on YouTube. So just look up Wrestling Rehab Up on YouTube and you'll find us there. Other than that, it's been a great night, Matt. I'm so glad I got to talk to you. This was longer than I thought it was going to be.
As always.
As always.
That happens, so yeah.
But other than that, everybody, Watch out for any flying elbows. Uh-oh. Peace.